Howdy, I'm Jeremy Kitchen with a brief preview of what's ahead this week in Texas. The Texas legislature adjourned sine die on Thursday last week, officially ending the second called special legislative session. If you follow Republican state lawmakers on social media, you've likely seen their attempts to communicate all the great victories that were had. It's important to understand all of that in context. At best, those statements are attempts to have you completely ignore the other important things that were left on the table. Things that will continue to plague Texans in the months ahead. Buckle up for your preview of the week ahead in Texas politics. At the start, let me preface all this by saying the things that did get done are certainly notable. After several quorum breaks, for instance, all enabled by House Republican leadership, mind you, the Election Integrity Bill did end up making it across the legislative finish line. Importantly, it was not the same Election Integrity Bill that was considered in the regular legislative session, the one that could have been passed, but due to several reasons, chief among them a complete and utter mismanagement of time, died at the hands of the initial quorum break by House Democrat lawmakers. Fast forward to the first called special session that began in July, the Election Integrity Bill now has a new House author and made a few concessions in attempts to keep those same Democrat lawmakers in Austin. It didn't work, at least initially. The House lacked quorum for a little over 37 days, and it wasn't until halfway through the second called special session that they finally got enough lawmakers back to conduct legislative business. And they did, holding hearings on a whole host of issues on Abbott's agenda, ultimately concluding the session a few days early. They passed supposed improvements to the supposed ban on critical race theory that passed in the regular legislative session. They passed supposed protections for those censored by social media and email platforms. They passed a so-called 13th check for beneficiaries of the Teachers Retirement System of Texas, and they appropriated $1.8 additional billion on top of the already allocated $1.1 billion for border security operations, among other things. But after allowing House Democrat lawmakers to leave at the end of the regular session, resulting in the end of the legislative prospects for things like election integrity, bail reform, and the preemption of local government regulations on private business employment practices like sick leave, after allowing a majority of the same House Democrat lawmakers to leave 5 days into the first called special legislative session, ultimately meaning that the special session was a complete waste of time, energy, and taxpayer dollars, after allowing those same House Democrat lawmakers to waste almost 13 days into the so-called second called special session, the special session concluded with no penalties exacted against any of them. Every single one of them retains their chairmanships, vice chairmanships, committee membership, and seniority privileges. There were attempts to change this reality. House Resolution 72 by State Representative Cody Vassut, a Republican from Angleton, would have penalized lawmakers both into the future and those who just broke quorum. It would have empowered House members to make specific parliamentary motions to do as much. It was referred to the House Administration Committee on August 23rd, but never granted a hearing. House Republican leadership instead prioritized another bill, House Resolution 96 by State Representative Drew Darby, a Republican of San Angelo, that was filed 3 days after the previous resolution on August 26th, and it was granted a hearing in the same committee on August 28th. It boasted 60 co-authors within hours of being filed. This resolution would have established provisions to penalize quorum breakers, but only in the future, with no retroactivity. Even then, it never passed out of committee, and instead, the session concluded with no penalties to speak of. Similarly, Abbott himself added legislative quorum requirements to the special session agenda. A week before the second special session began, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick submitted a letter to Abbott requesting that he add such a thing, voicing his support for a simple majority requirement. The legislature currently has a two-thirds requirement to constitute a legislative quorum, which means that in the House they need 100 lawmakers present of the 150 to conduct business, and in the Senate that means 21 state senators present of the 31. In a simple majority quorum scenario, it would mean that the House would only need 76 of the 150 present, whilst the Senate would only need 16. Obviously, this would make quorum breaks much more difficult. The Senate had a bill, Senate Joint Resolution 1, authored by State Senator Brian Birdwell, a Republican from Granbury, that made it all the way to the Senate floor. It passed its initial vote, but because it was a proposed constitutional amendment change, it lacked two-thirds support of the overall Senate to be considered a third and final time, and as such, it never passed. In the House, a similar bill was filed, House Joint Resolution 9, again by State Representative Cody Vassute. It was referred to the House State Affairs Committee on August 23rd, but never granted a hearing, and as such, it was never considered. Ultimately, this means that nothing was done to prevent the quorum breaks of the likes that we've seen the last few months from happening again. Nothing was done to prevent them or penalize anyone who participates in them. Texas taxpayers are once again left holding the bag. Another area where taxpayers are left holding the bag is that of property tax relief. Lawmakers and Governor Abbott are already promoting the supposed great strides they made in this area during the special session, but the truth is the property tax relief they did consider is not for all Texans. It's for a special class of individuals, those who are elderly and disabled, or those who have acquired property being able to take advantage of the homestead exemption in the first year of home ownership. It leaves out a huge swath of property taxpayers here in Texas, and even then, the relief that is provided to those special classes of individuals only means that those it does not apply to will have to pay more to offset the cost, because government's not going to collect fewer taxes, they're just merely going to shift the burden. You should demand better than lip service. The House had a bill, House Bill 122 by State Representative Tom Oliverson, a Republican from Cypress, which would have applied 90% of the budget surplus that was announced by Texas Comptroller Glenn Hager in July to buy down the school maintenance and operation tax as a part of the overall property tax formula, with the goal of its eventual elimination. The bill boasted 55 other authors in the House from both political parties. It was referred to the House Appropriations Committee on August 23rd, but never granted a public hearing because Republican leadership never prioritized it. Texans seeking actual property tax relief will have to wait until at least 2023. Lastly, despite a growing list of public school districts and school boards outwardly defying Governor Abbott's emergency order, which precludes mask mandates for public school students, the legislature did nothing to address it. There were bills filed to both prohibit mask mandates and allow them. Two of them were considered in the House Public Education Committee last week, but ultimately left pending. In fact, the bill that would have outright prohibited it, authored by State Representative Jeff Leach, a Republican from Allen, was introduced, and very quickly both the chairman of the committee, Democrat Harold Dutton Jr. of Houston, and Leach announced that they agreed to a compromise, which would be to allow school districts to mandate such requirements as long as they also provided a parental opt-out provision, indicating they would both work on an updated bill, which never manifested. So instead, as the fall semester of school is underway, you have a patchwork of mask mandates all across the state and ultimately confused parents. So what's next? Well, it's long been assumed that a special legislative session that included the delayed and tenuous redistricting process would take place in October. As of this recording, no specific dates have been announced yet. It also remains unclear whether Abbott, the only one that can prescribe such things or add anything of the aforementioned issues to a future special session agenda, will do so, or whether any of the issues like bail reform or youth sports would fit the bill. Odds are that more clarity will be brought forth shortly here in the next few weeks. I'm Jeremy Kitchen for Texas Scorecard, and that was your preview for This Week in Texas. For daily updates on politics and policy, make sure to follow us on social media and visit our website, texasscorecard.com, to be better informed. Also, we recently debuted a new podcast called The Autopsy Files, where we do a deep dive into the legislative saga surrounding several of the key issues taken up in the 87th regular legislative session that ended in May. Make sure to check out that and more at texasscorecard.com/podcast or subscribe to Texas Scorecard on your favorite podcast provider. I'll see y'all next week. Take care.